You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Zach Bechtold and Matt Franks. If you'd like to learn more about the Bearded Theologians, you can go online at beardedtheologians.com, where we have past podcasts, blogs, and a couple of items for sale. So check us out, beardedtheologians.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy this week's show. You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So as we continue our Table Talk series, we're in the fourth week of this, and we're wrestling with the idea of, does God answer my prayers? I know, Zach, this is one I've been asked a lot. Garth Brooks wrote a song about this. I went there. But, you know, Zach, as you've been, I know you've been asked this question too. How do you respond to that question?
It's a really good question. And it's one, like all of these questions, that my answer has evolved over time and probably will continue to evolve. Something that I try to point to every Sunday dinner, our communal prayer time, where we lift up our joys and concerns, and we celebrate those and we grieve together. As we come together in the pastoral prayer, I always try to remind myself and our folks that surround us during those prayers of how thankful I am to have a God that hears, but also a God that responds. And it points to, for me, some of the fullness of who I believe, what I believe God is. But also it's a stark reminder for me that in response, we have to make room to listen. You and I have to, we can pray and reach out to God all day long. And if we don't make room to listen, we don't hear the response from God. And I think that's an important thing that I don't know that I was ever really taught about prayer growing up. Maybe I was, and it just went over my head and I wasn't paying attention, but it's something I've really come into relationship with in the last bunch of years in my prayer time is making that space for me to slow down enough to listen, to hear, to be aware of the world around me and how God is speaking into my life, and speaking into the prayers that I've had. I think that's where we get lost in prayer sometimes is, oh, you know, God's not hearing my prayer. God's not responding. God's not listening. And maybe the answer is not kind of like why it is in our conversation about suffering. Why does God make this happen? Why isn't God answering me or speaking to me? Maybe we haven't slowed down enough to listen. Maybe we haven't been intentional enough to be present in those quiet moments as well. You know, maybe it goes back to the question Wesley asked of where's God at work in your life and causes us to slow down or reflect and go, ah, there it was. I don't know. There's a lot there. I think that's my, that's kind of where I sit on it today is not so much the question, does God hear me? But am I making space to hear the response?
I think that's a great way to process that. I think when I'm asked that question and I've been asked that question, I mean, we've had, I've had 10 funerals this year, 11 funerals this year. And I've been asked that quite a bit this year because some people have gone through it's a sense of suffering, you know, and it's God answering my prayer. And my response is always yes. and sometimes it's the way that we want it to be. And sometimes we get what we want, and sometimes we have an opportunity to connect with God in a way that we wouldn't have before, because God heard our prayer and heard what our real need is, mm-hmm. versus what our perceived need is. And I think there's a being aware of that is key. I think as I think about this topic and as I think about what I'm going to say for the church, and what I will say is that yes, God does hear your prayers. Understand that you may not get all your prayers answered, and that's great. It doesn't mean we stop praying. I think that that's the one thing that we forget, is that sometimes when we don't get our way, we stop doing the thing. But when reality is, we need to pray more. I don't think we pray enough. And I've thought about that a lot lately. I've been in a couple of spaces, sacred spaces, where we didn't pray, and I found that a little bit troubling. Sure. And I think that we don't pray enough, and that can be done in a lot of ways. I think there's a lot of ways to pray that it doesn't have to be in the, you know, put your hands together, bow your head, you know, kind of way. I think there's other postures of prayer that we can engage in that will allow us, open us up to what God is speaking to us.
Well, and maybe that's the overarching question, right? That rather than does God hear my prayer, is how do I pray? And I know you and I have varied ideas on what or how prayer is, and you know, just how you and I personally do it, or see to it. But I think you're right. I think finding the ways that we pray, you know, rather than asking, does God hear me, is am I setting myself up to pray? You know, am I praying? And if I'm not, if I'm doing all the things that I know to do, and I'm still not hearing or seeing God in these moments, what can I change? Right. And what may have worked and been fruitful and vital previously may not settle anymore. We may need to switch it up. Right. Richard Rohr talks about it a whole lot in the idea of praying without ceasing, in how he saw the monks do it, and their prayer being not so much bowing your head and taking that what we're used to in the posture of prayer, but being fully present in the activities of life, whether it's sweeping and being fully present in sweeping the floor and having our prayers and being present with God in those moments, or washing the dishes or doing the garden or whatever task, driving, right? Whatever task we're doing in the moment, being fully present in that moment to hear, to speak, to have the conversation. And that prayer isn't just, you know, bowing our head and saying grace over our meal, or coming together in prayer in church, or all of the things that we know what prayer is, that we've seen it modeled. But what if it's different? What if that's part of it, a piece of it, but what we maybe need for a season in life is something different? And being open to hear that and see that, and how God is speaking through those moments, all of those moments, in a way that we in return hear. I think you're exactly right to ask the question in reverse of what is it? What is prayer for us? And how do we engage in that? And like you said, are we engaging enough? And enough is a weird word for me. I don't love that, because even some is wonderful, right? Even some is a start. But I don't hear you say that in a judgmental enough, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's praying enough would be that praying without ceasing,
right?
And that we're always praying. Like if you're truly in tune, you're always doing that. You're always in a prayerful presence. However, there is a time where we need to stop and acknowledge whatever it is that we need to acknowledge, whether that's right. Like a prayer request for a family member or a friend, or maybe we got a text saying that so-and-so's sick in the hospital, like taking that time and stopping and praying. And it can be simple. I think sometimes we complicate this and we want like these elaborate long prayers where really we can say, dear God, be with Buff as he's going through his health issues, and sure. Just be with him.
Right.
Amen. And right. And I mean, it's like, I think sometimes we try to complicate the process a little too much. But I also think too, is that being in a posture of a prayerful attitude is key, and how those prayers get answered. My experience tells me that's not going to be instantaneously. It will be when I'm more in tune and paying attention to where God is at work, I see those prayers answered or not answered in the way that I was anticipating.
Right. Well, and you're right. It's the simplistic nature of even reading the text message or hearing somebody and internally just saying, Lord, hear our prayers, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a simple prayer, and yet sacred and powerful. Maybe curbing our expectations might be a significant road to travel in thinking about prayer, right? Like when we pray, is our expectation for God to hear our prayer and instantaneously fix the thing we just prayed about? Is our expectation for God to do the thing that we're crying out about? Or is our expectation to wait and see, to continue to journey along and see where we find God in these moments? Jesus struggles with the expectations of the disciples and the Pharisees and the community, right? They're often, hey, show us a sign, Jesus, right? Like show us you're the guy. Is that our prayer? Hey, God, show me you're there. I just fed 5,000. Look,
yeah.
All the evidence is in front of you, right? And sometimes I think we take our prayer life in that direction of show me, rather than the calm presence of I'm here, I'll see. You know, it's interesting. It's a fascinating question.
Well, it's definitely one that I'm not gonna lie, there's no answer to it.
No answer to this question, right?
But I do believe that yes, like the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Comma. We have to be open.
Yeah.
To where the Spirit may be speaking to us. And I think we can be an answer to prayers for other people if we're being fully attentive to what's happening around us. Mm-hmm. We talked about being an unanxious presence in the midst of suffering. That's how you can be an answer to prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think when we see ourselves as a possible answer to someone else's prayer, I think that's a great way to see how prayer does make a difference, mm-hmm. or how we can make a difference, being an answer to prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, a good question to lead with, and this will probably be the question I lead with when I preach this will be, you know, when was the last time you had a prayer answered?
Sure.
And what caused that? And
right.
How, like, you know, what did that look like for you?
Yeah.
And then when was the last time you were an answer to prayer when someone said, hey, you were an answer to my prayer? I think those are two questions you can really wrestle with to how to answer this question.
You know how I think John Wesley answered or asked that question was in his 21 questions of do you enjoy your prayer time? To make those whom he asked that question for kind of sit back and think about, am I enjoying what I'm doing? Or am I slogging through making myself do it because there's an expectation or whatever underlying cause of that. But I hate that question. That's one of my least favorite in that set of 21 is do you enjoy your prayer time? Because often, more often than not, my answer is no, I don't enjoy it. It feels tedious. it feels belabored.
But your personality type lends to that.
Correct. But it's a fair question. Yes. to say, well, if I feel like God's not answering my prayers or hearing my prayers, well, I'm not enjoying talking to him either. So like, let's switch it up.
and I think that's too, where you've got to recognize that in yourself and say, mm-hmm. I need to lean into this more because this is how I'll grow more. For me, you know, sitting meditation is my jam, and I can sit for 45 minutes or so just meditating on, you know, mm-hmm. God or whatever it is I need to meditate on. And that doesn't bother me one bit,
mm-hmm.
but you asked me to put that into practice and actually like someone asks me to stop me and pray with them. I like freak out. I can do it.
Yeah.
But the latter would be a better option for me.
Right. And I think that's the journey, right? Finding the things that work for you and the practices that work for you, whether they be for a season, for a very long period of time or somewhere in between. And knowing that may or may not change, and that's okay. For me, my prayer life, the answer to that question, and do you enjoy your prayer time, significantly changed when I removed the guilt and shame of what I thought prayer should be or what I was expected it to look like from me. When I removed that, my prayer life certainly changed.
Well, and I think too, with our prayer life, both publicly and, you know, both corporately and individual, I think if we can help people understand that prayer is a simple conversation with God, it doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to have 90 Father Gods. It doesn't have to have deep theological language. If you're praying for something, pray for that thing. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you need to go off on a 5-minute prayer sermon? What's crazy is like, you would think that the introvert in me would love those kind of prayers. I hate those kind of prayers. Like hey, we're praying for a particular purpose. Let's get it done. Like, yeah. Like we need to pray for this. Like who, right. Like we don't have to have the elaborate language. And I've modeled that. And it's funny how people like, we love when you pray because you don't go for, don't pray too long.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, prayer can be simple. And I think sometimes we complicate it too much, mm-hmm. because we want it to be this elaborate thing for God, and God just wants to hear from us.
Yeah.
And that's why I love the Psalms. The Psalms are great prayers to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They lay it all out there, right? Any time, whether it's the Psalms or Jesus or really anybody that prays throughout scripture, they're simple. Right here it is. Here's where I'm at, God. Where are you? You know, or just,
well,
hey, I'm out here in the desert. You know, or even Jesus coming to, is this what we're doing? Okay, let's go. Right, like,
hey, disciple, let me show you how to pray. Our Father who right. art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's there, right?
Yeah,
it's simple. It's simple.
So yes, God does answer our prayers, and I think we have to be open to that. Be praying without ceasing, as you noted. But I also think too is a willingness to open ourselves up to the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit mm-hmm. and how it can work on us and through us. So yep. that way we can have prayers answered, but then also be an answer to prayers that may be around us.
Yeah. I dig that. It's a good place to land.
It is a good place to land. We have some great content up on the Bearded Theologians website, and you can find that at beardedtheologians.com. You know, this sermon series, Table Talks, we'd encourage you to use at your church, and feel free to shape it however you need to. Use the questions. You know, don't be afraid to attribute it to us, and use this as a good conversational starter for your small groups or whatnot. You know, this is our intention of this was to do just that and provide some kind of resource for those that may be searching for something. I know I've had fun with this, and we have one more left, and I know we'll definitely have fun with this, the next conversation. And so for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
I want you to subscribe and like this video and push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.